ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Canto 7, Chapter 10, Text Number 12.
Katha madiya yushamanah priyastvam. Avesya mamatmani santamekam. Sarveshu bhuteshu adhigyamisham. Yajasva yogena cha karma hinvan.
Translation: it does not matter that you are in the material world. You should always, continuously, hear the instructions and messages given by me, and always be absorbed in thought of me, for I am the super soul existing in the core of everyone's heart. Therefore, give up fruitive activities and worship me. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada. When a devotee becomes materially very opulent, one should not think that he is enjoying the results of his fruitive activities. A devotee in this material world uses all material opulences for the service of the Lord because he is planning how to serve the Lord with these opulences as advised by the Lord himself. Whatever material opulence is within his possession, he engages to expand the glories and service of the Lord. A devotee never performs any fruitive or ritualistic ceremony to enjoy the results of such karma. Rather, a devotee knows that karma kand is meant for the less intelligent men. Narottam Das Thakur says in his Prema Bhakti Chandrika, karma kanda jnana kanda kevala vishera bhanda. Both karma kanda and jnana kanda, fruitive activities and speculation about the Supreme Lord, are like pots of poison. One who is attracted to karma kanda and jnana kanda spoils his existence as a human being. Therefore, a devotee is never interested in karma kanda or jnana kanda, but is simply interested in favorable service to the Lord, anukulyena krishnanu shilanam, or cultivation of spiritual activities in devotional service.
Kathamadiya yushamana priyastam aveshyamam atmani santamekam sarveshu bhuteshu adhiyagyamisham yajashva yogena chakarma hinvan.
It does not matter that you are in the material world. You should always continuously hear the instructions and messages given by me and always be absorbed in thought of me. For I am the super soul existing in the core of everyone's heart. Therefore, give up fruitive activities and worship me. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead is bestowing his benedictions, his blessings on Prahlad Maharaj. And his blessings are according to the desires that Prahlad Maharaj expressed. Since the desire of Prahlad Maharaj was to serve the Supreme Lord by staying here in this material world and expanding the preaching mission, trying to give Krishna consciousness to the conditioned souls, the Supreme Lord benedicts him accordingly. However, the Supreme Lord, being the reservoir of all good qualities and all resources, also benedicts Prahlad Maharaj to have the sovereignty over the kingdom of his father. Hiranyakashipu has been killed, and the heavenly planets have been given back to the demigods. However, like in today's world, if one country loses a war against the other country, then the other country imposes sanctions on the loser and takes away so much wealth from the loser. And the other country is in deep depression economically. But the Supreme Lord, he allows Prahlad Maharaj to retain all of his opulences, the kingship of the Danavas, the Rakshasas, knowing that it would be much more easier for Srila Prahlad Maharaj to use them in Krishna's service. However, he assures Prahlad Maharaj that as long as he is constantly engaged in worshipping him and thinking about him, the natural reaction of using resources in this material world will not be accrued to him. As soon as anyone does any activity in this material world, the material nature has his bank statement prepared with credits and balances, debits. And any activity that we do will either result in a credit or in a debit. It is a natural consequence of any activity. I think all the students call it the law of action and reaction. So, Prahlad Maharaj has been assured that his balance sheet will be clean, despite all the activities that he does. That is a benediction that the Lord is offering him here and in the next verses to come. That although you will be in the material world, it does not matter. As some devotees say, matter does not matter anymore. Matter becomes spirit. Right? That there's a logo, matter does not matter. Spirit matters. So here for Prahlad, actually this comes true. But there is a condition supply. Small star. You should continuously go on thinking about me. And this law applies even to the devotees who are completely pure. What to speak of those who are practicing Krishna consciousness. When we are practicing Krishna consciousness, sometimes we have the idea that once we are on the pure platform, everything comes automatically. It may or may not. But the endeavor of the living entity is always to remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. And the Lord is so intelligent. Aveshwamam. He uses this word. I am in everyone's heart. You see, to remember someone or to remember something, you at least need to be in the close vicinity of that person or place, or have remembrance in the form of a photograph or at least a memory. The more tangible the vicinity, the closeness is to that particular object, the more easier it is to remember. Many times we may feel that it is so difficult to remember Krishna. So Krishna assures us, I am there in everyone's heart. I am in your heart. He's in my heart. Our body itself changes, every 7 years. So even the cells that are existing now may not be there after 7 years or so. But the super soul still remains there. He is the only tangible eternal reality. Therefore, it is the most easiest activity in terms of logical understanding to continuously meditate on Krishna. He is easily available. 24 hours customer service. Without fail. He is available. He never sleeps. So, aveshyamam, or as in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that I am in the heart of every living entity. Ridhi sannivishtaha. So the purpose of that is the living entity feels assured. One of the purposes served is that the living entity feels assured that one can remember Krishna always. He is always going to be with us. And Prabhupada, in one of the purposes, says Krishna is so very kind that he accompanies the living entities even in the lower species of life so that they can feel the closeness with Krishna in the form of, in his form as Paramatma. So Prahlad Maharaj, when he hears that, he feels so happy. And the other word used here is adhiyagyam. And yagya means, generally here it is being related to fruitive activities. Activities which are carried out with fruitive intent. Generally the Vedic literatures also speak of activities to be performed. Generally they are performed with a fruitive intent. And they can be converted into pious activities by offering the results unto someone else. So adhiyagya means, since you are going to be in the material world and the activities are going to be performed by you, I am there. It is very natural for me as adhiyagya, or under whose supervision all activities are performed. Or that personality who's above, who's monitoring, or who's the recipient of all the fruits of all the activities, the adhiyagya, it is so natural for Krishna to accept the results of all activities. Like the example is given, it is so natural for the waters of the river to flow into the sea. The big rivers. But if you construct a dam, then it proves to be an obstacle. Obstacle in the flow towards the sea. Similarly, it is natural for all activities to just go and take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. But the dam of our independent desires of enjoyment seemingly prevents it from reaching Krishna. So if you just allow the natural course of activities to take place, Krishna becomes a recipient of all our activities and we are automatically benedicted by Krishna's blessings. Hence, the process of Krishna consciousness is very simple. To be reinstated in one's natural constitutional position. That's all. We just have to give up all the external avaran or coverings or so many designations that we have. And everything else is natural. The living entity's natural activity is to naturally serve Krishna through all the faculties or facilities that are available to it. And Krishna naturally accepts. For Krishna, it is natural to accept all the activities that are offered to him by all his parts and parcels. Such is the equation. So here Prahlad Maharaj, Krishna very... Because Prahlad Maharaj is so intelligent, his prayers are so very profound, Krishna accordingly responds with very deep meanings in his blessings. However, sometimes it becomes a little difficult to understand how Krishna acts. Generally, we have seen that when a living entity surrenders to Krishna, Krishna says, Tesham aham samuddhartha. I completely remove him from the material pool and take him back. In the Gita, he stresses that. in the earlier chapters. Tesham aham samut dharta. Uddharan, he removes or he liberates. Benedict Swan. Mrityu sangsara sagarat. So when Krishna himself offers a benediction, all right, for the next so many thousands of years, Prahlad, you'll remain here in the material world. Dhruv, for the next 36,000 years, you'll remain here. Since many of us, we are aware of how the Bhagavatam is going to unfold, we know in the future verses, Krishna is going to definitely protect Prahlad. But Prahlad did not know all these verses in one sense. Krishna is assuring him, but Prahlad does not know what is going to happen future in the Bhagavatam. So, if one is offered a benediction like this, that you may stay in the material world, there could be a sense of fear arising. What about the material contaminations? Definitely. Just like when the first time most of us, we were traveling to another country, into Bangladesh. We were very good citizens of India. We are still, hopefully, all of us. And we travel into another country. There is a sense of fear which overcomes one, because we are going into something which is unknown, and we are not sure whether all our good credits in India would actually matter there or not. There's no surety of it. So similarly, those who are fully conscious, those who are fully aware in Krishna consciousness, when they tread into this material world, it is but natural that there is going to be some fear. This fear is not because of forgetfulness of Krishna, but this fear is the fear of Maya. The fear whether the material contamination would affect one, the material disease would affect one. It is only those who are not fully pure that they are not fearful. They are not fearful of the power of Maya. As Srila Prabhupada said, that one of the disease of my followers is that they are not sufficiently fearful of Maya. I remember when we used to, in our younger days, we used to go trekking or mountain climbing, rock climbing, etc. as outdoor sports. It was a part of a curriculum, college and school curriculum. So, I studied in Pune, and in between Pune and Bombay, there is this place called Lonavala and Khandala, and there are many rock faces there, which you can use for climbing. Particularly, there's one called Duke's Nose. Anyone aware of it? Duke's Nose. So what you have to do is, you get down at the Lonavala station, you trek across, then climb a mountain, go down a valley, climb another mountain, and then you come to this face, this mountain face. So as we were climbing up, and then we went down the valley, it was all right. The valley was quite deep. There were forests, several streams. But there was, we were very casual about it. There was a pathway and we could easily go. And then we climbed up the second mountain and went to the very top and looked down the overhanging rock. And when we saw the deep, deep valley, the same valley appeared very fearful to us. The same valley which we were passing through some time back, some hours back, we just went through it very normally. But then when we climbed up the top, the cliff, and looked down, especially from this nose tip, it just falls down for several meters. And then somebody can climb down or climb up, whichever way they want. But when you look into the valley appears very deep. And the thought comes that if I fall down from here, lose my balance, then there is only one way to go up. And you don't survive. Similarly, when we are completely entangled in the material, enmeshed in material existence, we are not very much aware of its gravity. But more and more we climb the rock of purity, the mountainscape of purity, and go towards the top. And then when we look down the valley, we understand how fearful it is, how deep it is. Hence, it is concurrent, or it goes hand in hand. Advancement in Krishna consciousness and understanding the power of material energy simultaneously happen. That is what Vyasadev concludes. That when I saw Krishna, simultaneously I saw Maya. But she was taking shelter of Krishna. Maya tad apashrayam. I saw Maya simultaneously. Previously, Vyasadeva was in deep thought. Oh, what is the problem? I've written so many books. I don't understand why there's no satisfaction. So it was like he was in the valley. Just an example. Vyasadeva is a pure soul. He's an empowered living entity. But then, when he actually understood everything by the mercy of Narada Muni, then I said, I saw Maya standing there from the top, because the perspective was clear. Therefore, it is very important that as practitioners of devotional service, we constantly hear from the mouths of those who have realized this, those who are on the top. They guide us. This is very deep. Don't do that. Just don't walk this way. Don't be very lethargic. They give us the rules and regulations. And hearing from them, we are aware of what is going to come. We may not have realized the intricacies of this material energy, the entanglement that is there. But if we hear from them, because they are at the top. Hence, this the different steps of spiritual realization begins with Guru Ashray, taking complete shelter of the spiritual master, a bona fide spiritual master. So, a sense of fear may arise. But then, a pure soul understands that Krishna has a plan. It appears now that Krishna has a plan for Prahlad Maharaj. And if we are the first time readers of this particular incident, then it may appear to be a little bewildering. What is the plan? So Prahlad Maharaj, he may also be wondering that Krishna has a plan. He may be wondering what is a plan. But because he surrendered to Krishna's desire, he accepts it and tries to make his understand Krishna's plan. Tries to make his consciousness, he tries himself to try to understand Krishna's plan, become one with Krishna in that way. One saying is there in the devotee circle that if you want to really make Radha Gopinath laugh, especially Gopinath, then tell him about your plans. He'll have a good laugh. So, devotional life means, even if it appears bewildering, still using all our intelligence to understand Krishna's plan to whatever extent we can. And we are afforded, we are given the means of the scriptures, we are given the help of the sadhus and the guru for this. I would like to illustrate this point through one of the incidences in Lord Chaitanya's life. Krishna's plan is always perfect. However, we need to give it time and our consciousness. We have to offer our consciousness in the fire of understanding Krishna's plan. That yajna we have to perform. So Lord Chaitanya, he took sannyas at the age of 24. Trying to please his mother's orders, he took residence in Jagannath Puri. Some of his devotees from Bengal stayed with him. But then there were many other devotees from Orissa who flocked around Lord Chaitanya and were very fortunate to have his association in Jagannath Puri. Amongst them being Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, Gopinath Acharya, and other devotees. Kashi Mishra, the superintendent Tulasi, all these devotees got the fortune of being with Lord Chaitanya at Gambhira. A small inner sanctum sanctorum of quarters within the house of Kashi Mishra. The place where Lord Chaitanya spent almost 24 years of his life. After a few years, after shifting from Mayapur, Nabadweep, to Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya felt that he must fulfill his mission. You see, when he was in Nabadweep, Lord Chaitanya tried and did successfully expand his mission. But because he was from the same town and village, and because of familiarity, some people became envious of him or antagonistic towards him. And as the saying goes, a saint is never recognized in his own village. And so Lord Chaitanya, he came to Jagannath Puri. And there, as in every incarnation when the Lord has a specific mission, this incarnation had the mission of spreading without any consideration pure love of Krishna through the Sankirtan movement. So Lord Chaitanya, he had a deep, deep desire to move out of Jagannath Puri, move all over this tract of land and give this opportunity to all the living entities. So Lord Chaitanya, he did that for 2 years. It was 2 years Sankirtan marathon. Something like that. Like as devotees have December marathon, so this was like 2 years of marathon for Lord Chaitanya. He went all over South India, the various tracts of land in South India. And Chaitanya Charitamrita states that there was not every single living entity there in South India became a pure devotee. And Lord Chaitanya thus fulfilled his mission. So the first place which is recorded as significantly where Lord Chaitanya did something very, very significant in the Chaitanya Charitamrita is called Kurmasthan or Kurmakshetra. When Lord Chaitanya came to Kurmasthan or Kurmakshetra, he saw the deity of Lord Kurmadev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu in his incarnation as the tortoise. Kurma. And Lord Chaitanya there offered his obeisances and his prayers. And seeing the deity of Lord Kurmadev, Lord Chaitanya, his ecstatic mood knew no bounds. And in his ecstatic mood, he was chanting, he was dancing, he was crying and laughing, sometimes simultaneously. Now, sometimes when a devotee is doing all these activities, and it is not all, it's not possible simultaneously to do them, but some of these activities, let us say a devotee is chanting and the hour is not appropriate, then quite a few people hear and say, oh, please keep quiet. They hear that devotee. But in the din of daily activities, it requires a congregation of devotees to really make the holy name spread out. But it is explained of Lord Chaitanya that when he would chant, his voice was like the roar of a lion. Now when a lion roars, everyone notices. And therefore his chanting or his sound is described as the roar of a lion. So already by his chanting he was attracting so many people. And then the news was spreading that there is this personality who's chanting, dancing, laughing and crying all at the same time. And he does it on and on and on. Definitely, it was a big attraction. Everyone wanted to see who's this person. Yes? Sometimes he would jump in the air, then fall on the ground, tears just cascading down his face. Never before had they heard of anything like that. 500 years back, news traveled fast, but not so fast. So Lord Chaitanya came all the way from Navadvip, and these were the very activities that he was doing. He was just chanting the Ram Raghav mantra. Rama Raghav, Rama Raghav, Raksha Mam, Krishna Keshav, Krishna Keshav, Krishna Keshav, Pahi Mam. He was chanting this mantra. And all around, wherever he would go, the same scene would be repeated. Thousands would come to just see him. And they would spread the news, but not as fast. Therefore, when the Lord came to Kurukshetra, it was a new event. It was a novel event. And it was quite attractive. So throngs, people came in throngs, in thousands, in hundreds. Who is this personality who's chanting and dancing and crying and laughing and behaving just like a madman in the temple of Kurmadev? Every single house which had human members was emptied of its residents in that particular village. They all came to the temple of Kurmadev. And just by seeing the wondrous qualities, the ecstasy of Lord Chaitanya and his beautiful form, they became devotees. And as soon as they became devotees, they started chanting and dancing. So there was a whole festival of chanting and dancing. And this news from the outskirts of their village was being spread to the neighboring villages. You know, people on the border of the village have relatives in the next village. So they pass on the message. Do you know this is happening? And it was as if people had flight. They had wings on their feet. They just came flying in thousands and millions. Who is this personality? We want to see him. And as a devotee was explaining, sometimes, you know, people, when there's a big crowd, then those on the outer region, they are all trying to see what's happening, what's happening. So because there was a big crowd, and Lord Chaitanya was quite tall, but still he was trying to keep himself within the laws of material nature. He did not expand himself. So he was within this big crowd, in the center of this big crowd. So those on the outer regions of the crowd, their access to Lord Chaitanya was only through the sound vibration and through the medium of devotees. And the wonderful nature of this entire kirtan was, this was sufficient for them to become devotees. Anyone who came in touch with someone who had touched Lord Chaitanya with his eyes, with his glance, also became a devotee. And in this way, villages for miles and miles around were becoming Krishna conscious. And the only activities that took place in this village was the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this was going on and on and on. And finally, after it seemed ages, but it was just a couple of hours, Lord Chaitanya came to his external consciousness and he stopped his kirtan. And as it happens, as soon as some show ends, people say, all right, let's go. So some people dispersed, many stayed back, they were talking amongst themselves, you know, we observed this and that. And Lord Chaitanya, who was right there in front of the Kurma deity, one of the pujaris, he came forward and offered him some offerings. And Lord Chaitanya very gladly accepted it. And in a very meek and humble manner, without causing any more disturbance, Lord Chaitanya just disappeared from there. In one particular village, there was a Vedic Brahmana by the name of Kurma. Somehow or the other, he got an opportunity and he immediately invited the Lord to his house. And with great love and devotion and respect, he said, please come and take some prasad. You are a sannyasi. You do not have any possessions. You have no place where you'll get food or cook food. So please come to my house and take some prasad. Lord Chaitanya accepted. The Kurma Brahman took him to his house. As soon as the Lord entered his house, he washed his feet with pure, crystal clear water, full with his love and devotion. And he collected every single drop of the water that had washed Lord Chaitanya's feet in a receptacle and then sprinkled it on himself and on each member of his family as Charanamrit. Then he invited the Lord and gave him a seat. And with great respect and a lot of affection, he made Lord Chaitanya eat all kinds of foods. And the Lord ate. And then the remnants were later on very, very devotionally accepted by all the family members. And then the Kurma Brahman gave Lord Chaitanya a place to rest. And as the Lord, he washed his hands and feet and went to his place of resting, the Kurma Brahman made his family members, told them to take care of the remaining formalities, and he went and sat down next to Lord Chaitanya. And he started offering him prayers. And his very beautiful prayer he offered him. And he said, Sei pada padma tomar brahma dhyana kore. No, Jai pada padma tomar brahma dhyana kore. Sei pada padma sakshad ailamura ghore. He said, the very lotus feet that are constantly meditated upon by Lord Brahma, the same lotus feet have today come into my house. I am so fortunate. Mora bhagera sima nak jay kahana aji mora shlagya haila janmakula dhana. There is no limit or no boundaries, no extent to my good fortune. It cannot be understood how fortunate I am. My birth, my family, and all my wealth has been blessed today. And this way he was feeling so grateful to Lord Chaitanya. And then he offered his, what he felt was his ultimate desire of his heart. A real longing. His longing was there in his prayer. And the Kurma Brahman said, Kripa karo prabhu more jana tomar sange sahite na pari dukha vishayatarange. Please, my dear Lord, I would like to go with you. Be merciful on me. I want to give up my family. I want to give up my riches. I want to give up this place of my birth and go with you. And the reason for that is I am completely distressed and disillusioned with the so-called happiness of materialistic family life. I want to give it up and go with you. And the Kurma Brahman was actually affected by Lord Chaitanya's association and he offered these prayers. He actually wanted to give up all of his material attachments and simply be in the association of Lord Chaitanya. And Srila Prabhupada in his purport makes a significant point. He says, everyone should be aware of this Vishaya Tarang. It is not that there is naturally some difficulties going to be there in one's material life and in one's existence in this material world. And there may be some moments of happiness because wealth, good life, good birth, beauty, all of these things definitely give some sense of happiness. However, the attempt to maintain all of this is so very problematic. Beauty to maintain it, wealth to keep it maintained, to maintain the family members is so difficult. And there's so many problems. These are the Vishaya Tarangas. These are the Vishaya. And therefore, everyone must be aware that actually these Vishayas are problematic. And one must feel that one must give up all of these distractions. So here is this Kurma Brahman offering his prayers, and for the first time, as Lord Chaitanya has begun his preaching mission from Jagannath Puri, he meets a follower who says, "I want to join you. I want to join your ashram." By giving up everything. And Lord Chaitanya's instruction is very significant, and Srila Prabhupada also in his purport stresses on that. The Lord says, Prabhu kahe aiche baat kabhu na kahiba grihe rahi Krishna naam nirantara laiba. Prabhu kahe aiche baat. These words, please never utter them again. That you want to leave your family, you want to leave your place of residence, don't utter those words again. And this makes a devotee think, what is the Lord's plan? We want to leave this material world and go back to the spiritual realm. And that is seemingly what the Kurma Brahman is indicating. So why is the Lord saying, no, you don't leave? Like Srila Prabhupada in his Markine Bhagavad Dharma, he also is very much wondering. Ki lagiya anile hetha. Why have you brought me here? That is not understandable to me. Karo ebe gati. Please, what is this place? It is so dark. It is so materialistic. How will anyone hear Krishna consciousness here? The message of Krishna consciousness here. Srila Prabhupada is also expressing that in his prayer on the Jaladuta when he sees the Boston Pier, the skyline of the US. Ache kichu karjya toba. Definitely you must be having a plan for me. That is why you have brought me here. A anumane. My conclusion is, you must be having some plan for me. So similarly, Lord Chaitanya does have a plan, and therefore he instructs the Kurma Brahman like this. And this is explained by Srila Prabhupada by stating that one must not suddenly give up one's family life as soon as one comes in touch with Krishna consciousness. You see, Krishna consciousness is so very attractive that the moment one contacts Krishna consciousness with sincerity, one feels, yes, I must give up. This is too much. This is so nice. So many people, as they are, when they come first in Kirtan or they have the darshan of the deities, they say, we don't feel like going away. We feel like staying here. It is later on that when we continue, go on practicing Krishna consciousness, the familiarity takes away that sensation. That contempt that we develop because of familiarity, the sensation of the attractive nature of Krishna consciousness seems to be covered. But there is, so Prabhupada says, suddenly one must not give up. And the reason is because one is not trained. One is not trained to practice properly. It is better that one stays and sincerely chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and follows the instruction of the spiritual master and thus becomes purified. So, Nirantara Krishna Nama Laiba Grihe Rahi. Constantly chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this is the first instruction. This is the Lord's plan. And then he says, Chare dekha tare kaho Krishna upadesh, Amara agyay hai, Guru haiya tarai desh. Whomever you meet, instruct them in the messages and order of Lord Krishna according to the Srimad Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. The December marathon is based on the second principle. Whomever you meet, instruct them in the orders of Krishna according to the message of Srimad Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, become a spiritual master and try to liberate this entire tract of land. And Srila Prabhupada says, thus, when devotees who are sincerely practicing the chanting of the holy names and follow the instructions under a bona fide spiritual master, they are fit to become spiritual masters themselves. And they can preach Krishna consciousness to others. Therefore, there is no necessity of leaving home. The only necessity is go to the Dadar station or Andheri station. We have to leave homes and go till there to instruct people. That's all. So home in this sense, no necessity of leaving Bombay and going somewhere. As Prabhupada says, there's no necessity of... It means that even if one has not got the opportunity to go to Vrindavan or Mayapur, and one is in, say, Bombay itself, or maybe some other place, Pune or other place, if one is practicing these principles, then one is in the holy place, because the third instruction that Lord Chaitanya gives is, kab, or this is a conclusion, this is like the Shruti Phal, this is the phal of following these two instructions. Kabhu na badhi betomar bishoyata ranga punarapi eithane pabimura sangha. You will thus never be entangled by the Vishaya Tarangam. And Prabhupada translates is that if one is in this way following these two instructions, then one's spiritual advancement in materialistic family life will not be stopped. If one follows, indeed, Prabhupada says, indeed, if one follows these regulative principles, then very soon one will have the association of the Lord right in that place, or rather, one will never for a moment lose his association. So this is the substance of the Lord's benediction. When he benedicts someone like Srila Prahlad Maharaj, stay in this world, constantly remember me, the material afflictions will not affect you, because if you follow these two instructions, constantly chant my holy names, and whomever you meet, instruct them about Krishna. Or in other words, if you are engaged in Shravan and Kirtan, if you water our devotional service or our devotional kripa with Shravan and Kirtan, definitely Krishna's mercy will benedict our devotional kripa to expand more and more and more, and will become more and more purified. Always chant the holy names of Krishna. Krishna naam nirantar loiva jare dekha tare kaha Krishna Upadesh. So these are the instructions that Lord Chaitanya is offering to those who stay in this material world and are practicing Krishna consciousness. These very instructions are given to us by Srila Prabhupada also, and we are trying to fulfill those instructions as to the extent that we follow this sincerely. Indeed, if we follow these regulative principles, we will eithane punarapi pabe mora sangha. We'll again have the association of Lord Chaitanya. Or rather, we'll never lose his association even for a moment. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Tai Gaura Premanande.